Our subject this morning is a series, if we continue to. We have subject, Christ the Servant. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Isaiah said, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." This passage, called by some the golden passage, is one of great paradox and great contrast. You know, as we look at this verse, God says in verse 2 of that same chapter of Isaiah, "Shake thyself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Verse 10 said, "The Lord have made bare his holy men in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." In Isaiah 53 and verse 2, describing our Lord, it said, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." I could go on a rant right now, but I'll choose not to. Our Lord and Savior was not no what we call a pretty man. Something that we would look upon him and say, "Look how beautiful that man is." That is an artist who portrays. And one reason I know that that's not an accurate photo of my Lord and Savior, have you ever seen a picture of Jesus Christ who didn't have long hair? God said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So that's Old Testament, that's Bible. I don't care whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, it's Bible. Amen. And God put it there for a reason. Amen. God said that our Savior was not what we would call a pretty boy. Christ didn't draw anybody to him because of how he looked, but because of who he was. Compassionate, loving, giving. That's my Savior. God says in the book of Luke, you know, anything that is highly esteemed above man is abomination in the sight of God. We can always tell what God approves of and what the world approves of, because God does not approve of anything that is worldly. He came into this world as a Savior and a servant. God said, as we read just a moment ago in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Today we hear people, "I'm looking for a church. I want excitement." What they're saying is, "I'm looking for a church that I can be entertained." when the music is loud and the sermons are short. And I can come as I am and leave without any change. But the Word of God will change you. It took an old sinner like I and changed him. And everybody that's been saved has been changed by that Almighty God. No form or beauty, yet God's servant. You know, God said in verse 11 of Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You can usually tell when someone who's had a lot of pain my wife doesn't like to take pictures anymore because on her face you can see the pain she's had for years. And I tell her, not such words. I said, you're as pretty to me as you ever was.
Amen.
God became flesh. And he became a servant of those who he died for. God tells us, despised and rejected, yet the appointed Messiah. I believe that God's description of that, and not to put down my Savior, because when I think about him, he is beautiful. He is loving. He is kind. He is merciful. But most of the time when beauty is number one, you know, and I don't apologize for this. I've said it for 50 years, and I'll keep on saying it till God takes me home. I believe this building ought to be the very best that the Amron Road Baptist Church can afford. I've shared this with you before. Down on 2nd Street when we was there. I hadn't been there a year until we start sprucing up the little old building, you know. We painted it. We put carpet in it. They tucked the pews out in the yard and varnished them. And then we had a member come in and said, that carpet is better than what I have in my house. How do you answer that? It should be. Everything in God's house ought to be the very best that the little flock can afford. Why? We serve a king. If Jesus came to my house today and he wanted water, he said, I'd go at the faucet and pour him out a glass. I wouldn't. I can't stand it. Faucet water over in Carlisle. I'd give him a bottle of the best purified water that I had. You know why? That's what my Savior deserves. But yet, the Bible shows him as something of not beauty, not something you'd be drawn to. We've all had somebody in our life that was old, been sick, crippled up, little drawed up individual, such as beautiful that they can be to us. Amen? Because it's not what's on the outside that draws you, but what's on the inside. I believe that the Harris family, whoever wrote this little note on behalf, I believe they meant We cannot say thank you enough for all the prayers, food, church building, preparation, and love shown to our family the past few weeks. We appreciate each and every person involved.
Amen.
You know why? One of our saints went to glory. Our Jesus Christ went back to the Father. He was buried in a barred tomb. He had no house. He had no land. He had no cash. He had no bank account. He had no savings account. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And yet he died for me. He was my servant. Have you ever called and asked him and say, Father, my spouse is sick, my child is sick, I need this, I'm at ends with. And he makes a way out of no way. He's done that for me. He's made a way out of no way. Because he's my Savior. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with the job Jesus did on my behalf and on your behalf. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He walked 60 miles to be baptized by the only man that had authority to baptize, and all the Trinity was present. If God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit came to the baptism, if we want to baptize somebody today, the whole church ought to be here unless you're sick or providence or absent. We're one body. Not 50 bodies, 100 bodies, 12 bodies. God tells us here in Isaiah 53, verse 8, he said, he was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was crucified not for his sins, but for my sins. He gave up everything that he may come to earth and save a wicked sinner like me. God said in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I believe you can apply that to the Savior. You can apply it to a child of God that has been born again, that realized that God saved him for one reason, to serve and glorify and uplift the Savior's name. Remember the little widow at the offering box? You know, we used to have an offering box instead of passing and plate, and, you know, no matter what you have, there's always somebody going to say something about it. But the offering box is scriptural. I mean, Jesus sat there and watched everybody come and give. And there was one who gite that one little mite, and God said, she gave more than all. You think God is not interested in what his servants does? You think God doesn't know when we don't pray at night, we don't pray in the morning, we don't read our Bible? If you're a parent and you don't see that your children is prepared for Sunday school, you don't think it bothers him? Well, it does. Surely he hath borne our grief. Remember what he said in Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our grief, carried our sorrows, yet did esteem him, stricken him, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He's a great God. He's a great and mighty Savior. He's my Heavenly Father. God said, you know, in verse 8 that he was cut off. He was cut off. Who shall declare the generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He came to earth to be a servant of his Father. Every one of us who are saved was saved to be servants. One old gentleman was here yesterday. I think his name was Bill. He's had the jail ministry for a long time. And he said, I should sit here and talk to you all day, but I know you got other stops to make. But he said, can I ask you one question? Do you believe eternal security of blood-bought believer? I said, I sure do. I wonder why he asked that question. You know, you just think about 100 different questions somebody would ask you. But he said, you know, a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe you're getting saved today and lost tomorrow and saved tomorrow and lost today. And I said, God is eternal. And every gift that God gives you is eternal.
Amen.
When he says, I love you, Brenda, he will never stop loving you. But your reaction to his love can depend on how you feel. So a lot of people say, I just don't feel saved. I don't feel like God loves me. Check your life. Check your life. You know, the number one problem, even after 52 years in the ministry, that I find in marriages, they don't talk. They don't talk. And to have fun, they got to get out in the world and spend money they don't have on things they don't like because just to be entertained. The problem with our churches is that we don't communicate with God. So how do you communicate with this?
Amen.
He talks to me when I talk to him. Why? He's a servant. Christ, part of him, is a servant. He came to earth to serve. He came to earth to serve. God tells us, you know, a tender, exotic plant, yet bearing and enduring the awful storm. No beauty. It's amazing how us preachers are. We was waiting for the service to get started, our people together, and I think it was Hall's florist brought in a plant. And he looked at me and he said, "You tell her now that I watered this plant this morning, and it's days before she'll have to water it again." That's the kind of plant it is. I don't know what kind of plant it is. You know, plant's a plant to me. It weeds a weed, flies flowers. But if I was going to have flowers, that's the kind I want, where I could look at them. But if you don't water that plant sooner or later, you know what's going to happen? It's going to die. You know what's going to happen to you as a child of God? If you don't feed upon His Word sooner or later, you're going to die. Oh, you'll be living physically, but you'll be dead spiritually. I love God, and I believe God loves me. And I want Him to know that I love Him, and I want Him to know that I appreciate what He does. And we see here in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, God said, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." You know, if I had a washing tub of marbles up here, and I tell one of the boys, I said, "Come up here and get you a bucket of marbles." Man, he fills that bucket up. And the mother would say, "Boy, you've got many marbles there." But he didn't have them all, did he? Because he couldn't empty that washing tub into a bucket. But he had many marbles. "Well, you getting that, Pastor?" Well, let's read it again. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many." He knew who he's dying for. Now, how do I know I'm one of the many? I heard, I believe, and he gave. See, there's many people have went through those doors that have heard the gospel. And I see them every once in a while, and I'll say, "What church are you attending?" "Oh, I'm not attending any church." If you're saved, why not? Why aren't you? You mean there's not a church in this county or tri-county that doesn't preach the gospel? I mean, God says wants you to join a church where the gospel is preached. He wants you to join a church where the Word of God is consistent with the original Hebrew and Greek. And that's the old King James 1611 version of the Bible. He wants you to be faithful, because we need to eat. We need to eat physically and we need to eat spiritually. People are wanting to hear the Word of God. I mean, you know, we average 25, 30, sometimes 35, but there's hundreds, hundreds of people follow us on Sermon Audio and Facebook Live. You know why? Oh, I'm glad that they do. Tickled to death they do. But it's not like being in the house of God. You know, it's not like being in the house of God. Now, let me tell you something. You know, most of you know that. Most of you know what I'm going to say. If it offends anybody, I apologize ahead of time. I've got a lot of CDs. I got a lot of bluegrass gospel, bluegrass, and I enjoy listening to them. But it's not like seeing them live. I mean, it's just something about being there live. And I even watch my own self sometimes on Facebook Live, and I'm wondering why anybody would show up. But even though you're going to get the same message, you're going to get the same everything, but it's not the same as being there. It's not the same of knowing about Jesus that it is to know Him. And then, let's take it one step further. I know a lot of women, a lot of females, a lot of mothers, a lot of grandmothers. But I only know one woman intimately. As a child of the King, you are to know Jesus, your servant, intimately. You are to know what He thinks, how He feels, what He wants you to do. And you find that in the Word. Don't have to ask anybody, should I witness when I have opportunity? I don't have to ask anybody if somebody needs me that I will go to them. When God called me as a pastor, that's just part of my makeup. But when God saved you, He gave you a makeup that you want to be His servant. So that's the beginning. Now, the first point of our message is the behold of Scripture, that to get our attention and to cause us to look and see what the Lord God Almighty is putting on display. Each one is important and impressive and challenging. Every one of us, if we are children of God, it costs Him the same agony to save us. Oh, I may have had more sins than you, but if God hadn't died for me, one sin would have sent me to hell. See, God the Father is not ashamed to call attention to His Son. There's no such imperfection in the Son of God, and God draws the whole world to view His Son. See, Jesus is the only perfect man that ever lived. The only one. There has not been another one. Now, we know Adam. Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. But Adam had a choice to sin, and he chose to sin. Adam could lie. Adam could be deceitful. You know, we hear somebody say, well, there's nothing that God can't do. Well, the Bible says God cannot lie. He cannot lie. So he told me, if you will receive me as your Lord and Savior, I will give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. If God took my salvation away from me, then God lied. Make sense? It makes sense even as an old country boy. He says in his word, I cannot lie. He said in John 5:24, if I heard and believed, he would give unto me eternal life, and I shall never come into condemnation, because I've left that state of condemnation into the perfect bliss of my Lord and Savior. So when Bill asked me, do I believe once saved, always saved? I sure do. I didn't say I understood it. I believe it. I mean, I'm not smart enough to understand how God created this world out of nothing. And I got enough of common sense to know that when God created this earth, it wasn't little sprouts. It was full-grown trees. It was full-grown elephants. It was full-grown sheep. It was full-grown. How do I know that? Because the Bible doesn't say Adam and Eve was in the garden crawling around. He gave Adam and Eve responsibility. And he said, you need of every tree in the garden. Brother Milan was telling me he got a tree that got three different fruits on it. Man, you know, I would take garden if I could get a tree that would do, say, 8 or 9 fruits, you know. But he can't pick fruit off of it now. You know why? That tree's got to grow. But Adam and Eve was put in the garden and said, all of these fruits is yours. Go to any tree you want, pick it off, brother. And then I waste my money because the tallow was so good. You know, then I found out that Brother Gormley had one out, I wouldn't have had to pay that $19, you know. The question was Jesus and was Adam an infant in the garden? You know, I don't know about that. No, Adam wasn't an infant in the garden. He was a full-grown man.
Amen.
And he followed his wife. And they both lost their perfection. That's the Bible. Why do you think that people don't want the original? I've got an old King James Bible. And I bought one at the yard sale that was published in 1800 and some. So just for my own curiosity, I looked through certain verses and, you know, and studied out that old Bible. And it ain't changed. You got an 1887 King James Version? You got a 2019 King James Version? Only way, and I'm about ready to close, and we'll finish it up after lunch. The only thing you've got to be concerned about. Most of y'all, if not all of you, know Ollie's. You know, Ollie's is, you know, I go to Ollie's every couple of months to buy my wife's coffee. She won't drink nothing but Ollie's coffee. You know, I don't understand that. But anyway, when you go to Ollie's, they got a whole book of Bibles. And you'll have to look there through all of them to find a King James. And I refused to use a King James Bible that was printed in Russia. I don't trust Russians. I don't trust Chinese. I don't want anybody printing a Bible unless they're saved. So when somebody said King James is not perfect, I found an error in it. Sure you can. This is not the King James original. There is difference between translation and inspiration. This is a translation. Inspiration was when God spoke it. All we got is a translation. Every Bible I've got is a translation. So, you know, when somebody said, and they called my attention, they called me at 11 o'clock at night to say, hey, I got a Bible I want you to check out. It's a King James. I just want you to see that it's got an error in it. You woke me up for that. This is a translation. You know, if I was taking notes from any of you, you may get on paper what you said and you may not. It's according to whether I can write as fast as you're speaking. If, you know, this is, but what we can get confused is Christ came to this earth to be our servant. A servant does things that you don't want to do or can't do. Amen? I can take the medicine, but the medicine can't heal me. I can lay down at night, go to sleep. You can have your $1,000 mattress. You can have your $2,000 mattress. Rest comes from the Lord. Now, see, we can sleep. Have you ever went to bed and slept all night and got up tired? You slept, but you didn't rest. My servant gives me rest. What a Savior. What a servant. I never get tired of reading about him, talking about him. You know why? He's my Savior. But he's my friend. And I'm going to tell you, church, there's nothing I don't discuss or feel like I can't discuss with Jesus Christ. Because he's my friend. And Christ will never tell you anything that I told him. Now, that's a sermon in itself. But I hope you've got the message in that. Christ will never tell Scott anything that I told him. We all need somebody we can confide in. Just like power of attorney, church, you better watch out who you confide in. But Jesus, you can confide in him.